We'll be as brief as the Lord will let us be tonight, and I want to call your attention to Acts 19, verse number 17. For you that are in Awanas and that go to class on Wednesdays, we've been in the book of Acts for some time now, probably about a year and a half. We've been digging through the book of Acts, and I used to love to topical preach when I first started preaching. I just topical, whatever pops up, I just preach it, but I have found out from my life and your life, it's better to take a book of the Bible and to go through that book line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word, here a little, there a little, and God will move on that. And tonight in Acts chapter number 19, and we're going to begin reading in verse 17, we're going to come back on the seven sons of Sceva, what had happened. And them seven sons of Sceva, we talked the other night, they came and they called out on Wednesday night, they called out this evil spirit, and they was using something that they didn't have. They were using the name of Jesus Christ, but they didn't know Jesus. So I said Wednesday night, Jesus is no magical charm that we just use the name of Jesus and everything gets better and everything gets fixed. To a lost man, the name of Jesus, there's no power in that name. The power lies when you believe in the name of Jesus Christ. You put faith in the action on that name. Even the devils believe, but it don't do them no good. Amen? So it's the power that lies in what you believe. In the name of Jesus Christ. So this afternoon, I want to, just for a few moments, true godly fear is what I want to talk about. True godly fear. I don't know, when you don't know what to do, what do? You have true godly fear. You let God lead it. Look with me in verse number 17 of Acts 19. I would ask you to stand. I always like to reverence the reading of God's Word because His Word is always true, Brother Garrett. Brother Garrett, you're going to find it kind of amazing in verse number 20, what I'm fixing to read. The Bible says in Acts 19, 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. Good godly fear, here it is. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, that they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for a godly fear tonight. Father, I fear you tonight. Father, I fear you. I fear you tonight. I reverence you. I fear you. I trust you. I beg for you tonight to give us your divine assistance tonight as we preach this word tonight, Father. I pray for whoever's in this place tonight that this need a touch. I pray you touch them, Lord God. I pray for all of our teachers that has signed up to be faithful, Father. What a task that they've undertook, Lord God. And Father, in heaven it's written down. And I pray tonight that we all take it so seriously tonight, Father, as we're leading up other people closer to you. Father, I pray tonight you guard my throat, guard my thoughts, be with this prayer request tonight. Mr. Early Otts, I've heard about him this afternoon. Father, I'll go ahead and lift his name up to you that you touch his body in a mighty way. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Brother Lee and Sister Denise that they made it back safe. I thank you for my brother, Lord, that you've kept him out of harm's way. Lord, lead us throughout this night. Let us have a good dose of godly fear tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Here when we come tonight, I want to just bring you up to speed on true and godly fear. Here when the demon spirit confronted the seven men and said, but who are you? In verse number, if you will, 15, they said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? You see, they right then, they didn't know these seven men of Sceva. They didn't know what they were bringing to the table. And I pose this question Wednesday night. Does the demons in hell know who you are? And do they fear when you get on your knees before Almighty God? Do they know who you are tonight? And tonight, the fear fell on all that seen that true godly fear. If you'll look with me tonight in verse number 17, I want to give you three insights on true godly fear. And you'll know that they feared God. Number one, they magnify the Messiah. Anybody that fears God and fears His wrath to come, they're going to magnify the Messiah. They're going to lift Him up. And look what He said. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks. what had happened at them seven sons of Sceva. That one demon spirit went in there and he ripped them up, tore them up, and fled them out naked. And when we get here tonight, he says there was also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all because they seen what was happening, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Hey, tonight, can I say to you, when you truly get godly fear, you'll magnify the Messiah. Tonight, to magnify, that would be to uplift his name. You uplift the name of Jesus. You don't uplift your pastor's name. You don't lift up the church that you go to. You lift up the name of Jesus Christ. You elevate his name because he is the name above all names. Tonight is to magnify the Messiah. Tonight is to uplift his name, or to get a closer look at who he really is. To magnify, to get it under there and bring it up where you can see it. They seen what had happened here and they magnified the Messiah. Can I say to you, the name of Jesus will always be magnified, either voluntarily or involuntarily. And God made sure of that when he gave him a name that is above every name. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 9 tonight. A good dose of godly fear and knowing who God is tonight and what he does in our life. Tonight, if you got godly fear, you ought to uplift the name of Jesus. You ought to magnify the Messiah everywhere you go and in everything you do. He says tonight in verse number 9, he will always be magnified. And look what he says. He said, wherefore, that means before the world had ever begun, before he was ever thought of, before he ever said, let it be. Friends, tonight, the name of Jesus is a name that needs to be magnified. Amen. Whoa, glory to God. He said, wherefore God? How can you imagine God gave him that name, Brother J.D.? Nobody else gave him that name. Nobody else can give him that name. Nobody else can take that name from him. Nobody else. You say, well, preacher, what about? No, there is no other greater name. He says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. What did he do? He uplifted Jesus. He lifted Jesus up. And look what he said. And given him a name which is above every name. Above every name. At the name of Jesus. Look what will happen, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. There's going to come a day that you're going to magnify the Messiah either here or there. Amen. Boy, I get talking about Jesus, I just get excited. I can't help it. He said here, this evil spirit ripped seven men apart. They went out naked. They went out ashamed. But let me tell you something. They couldn't do nothing with the name of Jesus. And tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things that's under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So what do we do tonight? When we get saved, we confess the name of Jesus. We trust in that name. We believe in that name. And what saves us is that name of Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. So we magnify the Messiah's name in the name of Jesus. Do you know in the world we live in, you can use the name God and you'll never get in trouble. You can use God and you'll never get in trouble. They'll never say nothing to you. But when you use the name Jesus, it offends people. Why? Because it's a name everybody's going to bow at one day. Even the heathen's going to bow one day. Even the evildoer's going to bow one day. Even the backslidden Christian's going to bow one day. You're either going to bow here and confess, or you're going to bow over yonder and confess. Listen to me. If you have to bow over there and confess the name of Jesus, it's going to be too late. It'll be too late over there. He said, preacher, what I do? You bow and confess here in the name of Jesus. You believe here in the name of Jesus. And you get you a good dose of godly fear. Man, you fear God. Don't you fear God? This afternoon, it was hot. Man, we got home. It was so hot you couldn't breathe. And all of a sudden, Brandy made a statement that blew me away. She said, just in a moment, it went from being about 99 degrees to like 70 because the wind blew. The wind just blew over that hill that we lived on. It just blew over. It started raining and everything cooled down. It could be just going chaos one minute, burning up, can't feel. Next thing you know, boom, be cool. That same light, that same sun, that same name Jesus that melts the snow and melts it down is the same Jesus that hardens the clay. This afternoon, at the name of Jesus, we must magnify that name. That's true godly fear tonight. And these people saw what happened when that evil spirit got on them, and they said, hey, we're going to magnify the name of Jesus. We believe in Jesus Christ. Let me give you number two. We'll be brief tonight. I just want to share this. Number one, they magnified the Messiah. They uplifted his name. Number two, they had a confession. Don't miss this. They had a confession that costed them. If you confess the name of Jesus and it ain't never cost you nothing, you must still be living too close to sin. I'm getting hot. Y'all getting hot? If you confess the name of Jesus Christ and it didn't cost you not one thing, nothing's changed in your life, either one thing's happened. You didn't get saved or you're living too close to where you got in. You heard about the little boy, didn't you? That little boy, one night he kept rolling off the bed and he'd fall off the bed and the daddy went in there and said, "Son, what's happening? Why do you keep falling off? Why do you keep falling?" He said, "Daddy, I'm sleeping too close to where I got in." Hey, there's some Christians that are sleeping too close to where they got in and it's not costing them not anything. And tonight I want you to know there is, when you make a confession and you magnify the Messiah, it's going to cost you something in your life. If it ain't cost you nothing, it ain't much to have. Amen? The name of Jesus is costing me. What about you? It's cost to me. I'm not talking about material stuff, but it has cost me materially. It has cost me physically. It has cost me mentally. It has cost me spiritually to follow Jesus. Listen to this tonight in verse number 18, if you will. "And many that believed came and confessed." A confession that costed. "They came and confessed and showed their deeds." What did they show? They showed their evil works, what they had done that was wrong. I've been in services where people would come up and they'd have stuff on them. I've been in rehab programs where people would come up and they'd have dope on them. They'd get up there to the altar and they'd throw it down. They'd repent, ask Jesus into their life, and they'd throw it down. You say, "What'd you do, preacher? Call the police?" No, we wouldn't call the police. We'd get somebody to come, get it, flush it, and get rid of it. Hey, they was getting right with the Lord. They was bringing what was wrong. They wasn't sitting in a service with what was going on in their life and walking back out the same way. They were laying things down at the feet of Jesus. It was a confession that counted. It cost it. Look at this tonight. They burdened their burdens. What was burdening them when they was lost? They burned it. They didn't carry it with them. "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all the men." What'd they do, preacher? It cost them. They brought their books, everything they had wrote down. If they had an ought against somebody and they knew something on somebody that could benefit them, and it was black and it was dirty, and "I know this about you, I'm going to write it down and I'll bring it up when I need something, when I need a favor, I'll bring it up." What they was doing, they was keeping them books. Hey, but the ones that got saved, can I get an amen? Hey, it was cast as far as the east is from the west. And they burned their burdens right there. They burned them up. They didn't want nothing to do with that old nasty stuff no more. And look what he says. "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and they burned them before all the men." So all this evil and all this sin they had, they brought and they burned it. They got rid of it. It costed them. And look what it said. "And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." Let me give you a confession that costed. Let me give you just a little on what silver costs in the world we live in. If you took... Okay, a confession that cost it. Well, if a bootlegger gets saved, he quits bootlegging. Right? It's cost him his profession. He no longer distributes it. If a drug addict is a manufacturer of crystal meth, then he gets saved. He no longer manufactures. What does he do? He gets rid of his meth lab. Amen? Whatever they're doing that's illegal, they quit doing that because they're not going down that road no more. And they bring their deeds before the Lord and they burn them and they get rid of them. And it costs you something. Look what he says here. "A confession that costed, they burned their burdens and they counted the cost." You say, how do you know they counted? Here it is. They counted the price of them. Simple Bible. You get saved, it's going to cost you. When you truly get born again, you hide all you want to hide, but when you get born again, it's going to cost you something. And they counted the cost. And they found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. 50,000 pieces of silver, and silver being $17 an ounce in 2019 would be $425,000 that they burnt to the ground. I say that's a confession that counted. I'd say that's a confession that costed them. They bring this in, and it's worth 50,000 pieces of silver. Don't you get a hold of this? You say, preacher, it's going to cost me. It's going to cost you if you follow Jesus. When you get godly fear, you're going to quit doing the stuff that you do, and you get in line with God. It said 50,000 pieces of silver. Silver being $17 an ounce would be $425,000. That could bring a lot of stuff. That could buy a lot of stuff, but it was not of God. That could buy a lot of stuff, but it was not of God. Let me give you this.
When they got there, not only did they burn their burdens, not only did they count the cost, but their repentance was real. A man that won't let go of his past, I don't know much about his future. A man that won't relieve himself of his past, I don't know much about his future. If I'm going to hold on to my past, I'm going to be worried about my future. There comes a time you let go of your past and you grab a hold of your future in Christ Jesus. You wrap yourself up in that. They burned their burdens, they counted their costs, but the repentance was real. Man, they was true repentance, true turn. How do you know, preacher? Matthew Henry wrote this back in the 1600s. Here's what he said about this text. True repentance. Repentance is real. Here's what they didn't want to happen. They wanted to show hatred towards sin. That's why they burned it. They wanted to show hatred towards sin. They wanted to show that they was not going to return to that sin. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to remove the temptation that might slip them up. So they took $425,000 worth of stuff, Brother J.D., and burned it. Not only did it show hatred to sin, show no return to that sin and remove the temptation, but it said, Matthew Henry said this, they wanted to keep others from their mistake and they did not want to pass it on. You say, well, preacher, they can get it from somebody else. Yeah, but they ain't going to get it from me. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, they can get it down the road, but they're not going to get it from me. I'll never forget the night that I got born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I tell this, I got a 19-year-old daughter there. I got an 18-month-old son, and I got a wife sitting there, and I share this where I go. That night that I got born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about saved, sealed, ready to go. That night I got saved. I come home that night, and when I come home from church that night, we got home on that Tuesday night, and the first thing I did, I went out to my shed there where I had a meth lab there, and I had old pornography movies, and all kind of CDs that had cussing on them and all that stuff. You said, preacher, what'd you do? Did you sell it? Man, there's all kind of money there that could have been sold for profit. Preacher, what'd you do? I had an old burn pit, and I started a fire, and I grabbed that meth lab that was worth a lot of money. I'm talking about a lot of dope would come off that, and I'm telling you tonight, because when you get right with God, it's going to cost you something. You got to let the past go. You got to let some things go. And I got it, and I threw it in that fire, and I got that old dirty movies and all that old junk that was of no count and of no value, and I put it in that fire, and all the most CDs with all that old cussing on it, I put it in that fire, and it started burning, and I turned around and I looked, and Brandy was there behind me, and she said, you're real this time. Hey, it's real this time. Friends, can I say, when you get Jesus, it'll be real in your life. Friends, you know what? I can tell that tonight because that's what God did. He said, preacher, did you go back and build you another meth lab? No, I didn't. I got to live with it up here. But they're not going to get it from me, Brother J.D. I'm just going to preach the word and preach the truth. Tonight, there may be something in your life you need to burn. There may be something in your life. Brother Roy Parker, he won't care his testimony. He was bootlegging. He had all kinds. And said that night he got saved, he was going to kill himself. He wanted to shoot himself, kill himself. He was tired of living, and he met me right here. And I led him to Jesus and told him, you don't want to kill yourself, you just need Jesus. Come on, a conviction, gave his life to Jesus. Said that night he went home, he got a big old green waste management can. Said he flipped the lid open, started pouring it down the drain. Every bottle he had, throwed it in there. Why? Because he was done. You understand what the word done is? That means overdone. No more. I don't want it no more. Get it away from me. I don't want that mess. These folks here, you know what they did? They got to the place they didn't want it no more because they had met Jesus. When you get a hold of Jesus, you won't want it no more. Hey, something new that comes inside of you, lives inside of you, gets down in you tonight. Let me give you this tonight as I share this on. He says tonight as we get to this place, and I'll never forget this, he magnified the Messiah, but he had a confession that cost it. They valued righteousness more than living wrong. They valued living righteous more than they live wrong. Tonight, as your pastor, I say this all the time. I want to hold y'all up to a value, but I want you to hold me up to a value or to a standard. I don't want you to run into me at the store drinking a cold beer, and I don't want to see you there drinking one. Oh, now, come on, preacher. Just one won't hurt nothing. Tell that to the daddy that lost his child in a creek by a drunk driver. Preacher, one won't hurt. If just on vacation, don't kid yourself. That's where Satan wants to get you at on vacation when nobody's around, nobody's there. That's where your integrity comes in and sees just really what you are on the inside. When you get alone, ain't nobody there and everybody's gone. It's just you. Satan will get on you harder right there. He ain't getting on you in here. He ain't tempting you with that mess in here. No, it's fun right now, ain't it? Man, we're having a heyday. But you let get out there on your own, just you and nobody around. He'll put something in your face that you're going to have to see where you stand at with Jesus. These folks, can I say to you tonight, I said I was going to be brief. I'm going to have to hurry if I'm going to be brief. Amen. Boy, I just get carried away with that when I read something that really happened in my life. I'm telling y'all, that next morning I got up and went to work. Brother J.D., I had a confession at cost. I went in that morning, and my boys wanted to know where the dope was. I said, boys, we ain't doing it no more. We done. Oh, you, yeah. I said, we done. There ain't no more. And I heard somebody behind me say, amen. It was the preacher. That was from the night before. I thought, man, God's close in here. Looked around. He said, I'm just checking on you, see how you're doing. Just to see how you're doing. I said, yeah, amen. Amen. That thing rocked on for several months, and we didn't do no more dope. They might have, but I didn't do no more. So we just kept rocking right along. Had six people there with me. And by the time that it all was said and done, before I come here full time as pastor, I had the opportunity to lead all six of them to Jesus. By nothing that only, but listen, would I have had that opportunity if I'd have been living like them? No. They had to see a difference. They had to see a confession that cost it. They had to see that the stuff that you go through, that it's real and you're going to stick to it, and you got godly fear. See, I was tired of dragging my family down that road. I was tired of dragging down that road, and I wanted something new. And that man that night told me about a man named Jesus that loved me no matter what I'd ever done or where I'd ever been. And all I had to do was call on his name and have faith in Jesus Christ. That night I got on my knees at an old-timey altar, Brother J.D., and I called on the name of Jesus. And I said, Lord, will you save my soul? If what this man's telling me is true, I want you to save me, and I'll do whatever it costs us to follow you. That night when I went home, burned all that old mess and got it gone, I want you to know I had a peace that passeth all understanding that night. All understanding. And tonight, I want you to get this as we go on into the text tonight. These men, they didn't look back. They stood the course. Tonight, as your pastor, don't you look back. You stay the course. When everything looks, when you say, preacher, you just don't, hey, it's going to be okay. It's supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be different. I don't have none of them old friends no more, do I? So they don't even come around. You hear me? You can't find them if you put an APB out on them. Well, I can't. They don't want nothing to do with me. But that's okay. Because every once in a while, a blue moon, they'll call you needing prayer or needing something. And at that moment, we get to magnify the name of Jesus. They magnified the Messiah. They had a confession that costed them. Let me show you the third thing here that just really excites me. They had proof that prevailed. Proof. Brother Tommy at Broken Lives, his favorite thing is, I don't have much for these boys that start Christianity. That's what he says. And this old joker, he's rough. He's, I ain't got much for them boys that confess Christ and then walk out. He's, I ain't got much for that. He said, don't give me one that's going to start. Let me see one that's trying to finish. That's what he tells them about. And what he's trying to say is this, in a simple way, show me proof that you've been born again. Show me proof that you got godly fear. Show me proof that something has changed. Look what he says, if you will, with me in verse number 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them which also used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And here's the proof that it prevailed, that what they did was right. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. They had proof that it would prevail. The word of God will prevail in your life. I said that I have a lot of old buddies I don't run around with no more, but I got a lot of brothers I hang with now. Amen. I look around this room this morning, my mom getting out of the car and men everywhere grabbing her. My mom over here this evening to come to get laid hands on. Men everywhere grabbing her. She gets up here in the front, men everywhere got hands on her. I got brothers and sisters come and lay hands on her. What a blessing that is. I wouldn't let the old crowd around her. They'd rob her for everything she had. But I got a group of brothers and sisters that got proof, and it prevails in their life. The word of God grew, and people were saved. Turn with me to Isaiah 55:11, and we'll go. Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:11. To you teachers that are teaching, worship leaders that are leading, deacons that are serving, youth ministry that's leading, women's ministry that's leading, men's ministry that's leading, and you're steadily pounding day in and day out. And you're pounding that word, and your class don't seem like they're getting nothing, but you're pounding that word. And you feel like this morning Hayden and Kenzie had Landry up here, and she was having a good time, and
Sister Kinsey, Brother Hayden, boy, you can tell they just doing. Keep bringing that baby. Keep bringing that baby. Every one of us has been a baby. Thank God she's in church. Most of us wouldn't. You just keep pounding that word and you say, preacher, what good is it going? It ain't doing a bit of good. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hear that word, that true godly fear, it magnified the Messiah, a confession that cautioned and proof that prevailed. Look here, 55:11. It's what he said about his word. You keep pounding it. To your kids at home, keep pounding it. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. That's the Lord. That's not Brother BJ. That's the Lord. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. He said, I'm going to take my word and I'm going to put it where I please, and it's going to do what I want it to do. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I don't know about you this afternoon, but I got a lot to clap about. I get on a pity party pretty quick, but I got a lot to clap about. And one thing I got to clap about is this, the most important thing is I'm saved, heaven bound. Not by all my works or my righteousness, but on the blood of Jesus Christ. This afternoon, if you ain't got nothing to clap about, I'd get in this altar and get me something to clap about. I'd get my joy back. I'd lift up the name of Jesus. I'd make sure the confession I made has costed me something in my life that's tangible, that you hang on to. And I'd say, I'm going to make sure there's proof in my life. There may not be a lot of proof around me, but I'm going to make sure there's proof in my life that my family knows that I serve Jesus. That my family knows. I ask you a question. Do you have godly fear? And do you got anything to clap about? Brother Gary. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. It's time of invitation. Lord God, it's not mine, but it's yours, Father. And I thank you for this night. I thank you for them seven sons that gave you that went forth, Father, and they got destroyed. Man, they got whooped, Father, because they went in their own power. Here at this church, let us not go in our own power. Let us go in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray you prevail in this place. I pray whoever walks out with no joy, they walk out with joy, with a clap in their hands tonight. Lord, for the ones that didn't come back tonight, I pray you give them a clap wherever they're at. Lord, I pray you strengthen their spirit. I thank you for this body. I praise you for what you do here at this local body. Thank you for the teachers that got voted in tonight. And Lord, whoever tonight that needs to come to this altar, Lord, I pray tonight will be a night that they walk out of here with a clap like never before. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. I ask you to stand as we sing.